book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, and we were in chapter 5, sort of finishing it up Wednesday night. And there was a principle that Paul taught the church and wanted to teach Timothy. This was a very important principle. And the principle, we talked about it Wednesday night, is that God is no respecter of persons. In other words, he does not consider any one of you any less or any more important than anyone else. He treats all of us alike. What he uses in my life, he uses in your life. And what he expects of me, he expects of you. And so as we meet together as a church on Sunday mornings, we have been talking for some many, many months now about the direction that we are going. We want to be going where God wants us to go. And we don't want any stragglers. We want everybody to get there at the same time. Ultimately, it's heaven, okay? That's our ultimate goal, that we will all get there. We'll look around and we'll say, oh, great, glad you're here. And that's our goal. And there are people around us that we love. We love them with all of our heart. And some of them don't know who Jesus Christ is. And some of them will never know who he is because they will never see an example that will convict them of what's going on and what needs to go on in their life and in their heart. As I have thought about my relationship, I can't speak for any of you. I don't know. I can't see your hearts. I can see your actions. I can see the fruit that results from your life. But I can't see your heart. I don't know what your desire is or what your motivations are. I know what I hope they are. And many of you know what they should be. So I've been trying to think about how we as a unified group, how we need to interact with each other, and especially how we need to interact with our Heavenly Father. And so there's something that I want to share with you this morning, and you're going to hear this theme many times in months to come. Not every Sunday, but you'll need to come on Sunday morning, figure out what I'm talking about that Sunday morning, but it won't be the same thing every morning. But there is a theme that when I say we, I'm talking about everybody seated in this sanctuary this morning. We need, all of us, self included, we need to apply God's word as we move toward holiness. You and I, need to apply God's word as we move toward holiness. And why do I say that? Well, let's start off. This is going to be our opening verse, and you will hear this verse, and most of you have already got this verse memorized, but I will share a verse with you, Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And I trust that is the desire of every one of our hearts here this morning, that we might not sin against a holy God, a God who loves us, a God who made the ultimate sacrifice for us to get rid of our sin, to give us a relationship with him. So I want to start off with a statement, so that you will understand where I'm coming from. Because that's as important as my understanding where you're coming from. Here's a statement of fact. I love my church family. I do. I love my church family more than anything else on earth other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I love him more than I love you folks. But I love you next. And it doesn't make my wife jealous. She knows I love her. Now, I'd do almost anything for my church family. And you will notice I qualify that, almost. I would not do anything, but I would do almost anything. And because of this principle of God being no respecter of persons, and we're not supposed to be either, it doesn't matter who you are or what level of society you might come from, or your talents or your abilities or your wealth. I love each one the same. And God does too. And that's fantastic. That means that every one of us seated here this morning can experience the same thing. And the thing that we're going to look at this morning is holiness. I don't consider myself holy. I don't. I look at my life and I see things that are there that I wish weren't there, and they're certainly not holy. Do you do the same? You look at your life and you think, well, I want to be holy, but I'm not really holy. And so this is something that we want to work on. A lot of us, most of us, find peace and contentment in this book. When we're in this book, things are right. Things are going okay. And we can be comfortable knowing that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's not going to affect us in eternity, that we have eternal life, and one day we're going to be with him. But even though I read this book, and even though I try and live by this book, I still find something in my life that you probably find in yours. Sin. I don't intend to sin, but it happens. And I can't use the excuse, well, I'm only human. No, because of our opening verse. Let's look at that one more time. Psalm 119, 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might be better or more important than any of you. No, that I might not sin against thee. And so that has to be where we start. I used to be able to memorize. I could memorize a whole chapter at a time. And then I started having birthdays. And though not everybody has birthdays, but those of you who have birthdays, you understand what I'm talking about. It becomes more and more and more difficult to hide God's word in our hearts. It goes in here, and I don't know if it falls out this ear or when I open my mouth, it falls out my mouth, but it never makes it all the way. Well, at least it takes a lot of effort to get it from here to here. But this is God's challenge through David, the psalmist. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So this morning we're going to take a look at what some of the solutions might be to help each one of us, and also corporately as a body of believers, help each one of us to be more holy. To be more holy. God has covered it. God, our Heavenly Father, sees us as holy because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees through that. He doesn't see the sin in our life because Jesus died to pay for that sin. But we need to work on being more holy. You know, when it says, "Thy word have I hid in thy heart, that I might not sin against thee," could the problem with my holiness, and maybe yours, could it be that we're not hiding enough word in our hearts? Oh, I read it every day. But hiding it in my heart so that I can quote it back to you and to other people that I might run into. That is what brings holiness, real holiness. I've memorized scripture over the course of many years, but every time I have a birthday, a little of it disappears. Some of you have the same problem. Some of your vocabulary is going away. That's very frustrating to me as an older guy, is that the vocabulary goes away. Words that I have used all my life, I can't find. And I've got a dictionary laying in my office, and I don't even know where to look. Any of you ever experienced that? Sure. It seems like life pushes the memory further into obscurity year by year. There are times that Scripture is no longer my priority as it was at one time, at least not for the moment. And I find that sometimes I don't stay in touch with God except for an emergency. Ever find that in your own life? You get busy doing what life requires us to do, and somehow God is not prominent in our thinking. So my desire this morning is to help each of us to be holy, but we do have a problem. Those of you who have been around for any time at all know that I have said that we are at war. Well, we are. Whether or not you realize it, you are at war. You are either a soldier of the cross or a soldier of the devil. Only two armies in doing battle right now, Jesus and the devil. And you are involved in that in one way or another. It's not that, you know, that's not the kind of war where we've got tanks and guns and things. It's a spiritual war for your soul and for the souls of those people around you. And Jesus has made it possible for us to win, to defeat the devil. But we need to understand where our power comes from, where our leadership really is. If you will, turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2. Turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read a rather lengthy passage of scripture because it says some things that we all need to hear. You don't need to hear me speaking. You need to hear God speaking. And so we'll look at God's word and let him speak. Every time we read his word, we are letting him speak to our hearts. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse 1. And we're going to go all the way through verse 10. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's everybody here this morning who knows Jesus Christ as Savior. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Before you were saved, you were a sinner. According to the prince of the power of the air, you belonged to the devil before you belonged to Jesus Christ. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We can look all around us and we can see people disobeying the rules of God, the policies of God, biblical principles, and we see all of that. Those are the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh. That's before we were saved. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. People, we're nothing special. We are all sinners. But most of us, I believe, are saved by grace. We no longer live for sin. We live for Jesus. And it goes on, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive, together with Christ. God did that, people. We didn't do it. He reached down to us from heaven. He called us from heaven. He reached out to us. And it tells us then, by grace are you saved. And that's how we got saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right now, there is a place reserved for every one of you who knows Jesus Christ in heaven. He's got a place for you in heaven. It's waiting. One day you're going to occupy it if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That in the ages to come he might show you exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. We are sitting here this morning safe. We are sitting here this morning comfortable, I hope, because of Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about the army coming in. We don't have to worry about people. Yes, we take precautions to defend all of you folks. But God is able to defend us all a lot better than we are. A few Boy Scouts around, be prepared. Maybe a Girl Scout or two, you never know. But God is the one who keeps us safe. And when he takes his safety away, it's for a reason. There is a purpose in that, and God is going to be glorified in that, okay? All right, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You didn't save yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. These are the two verses my wife got saved with. Verse 10. For we, that's every one of us sitting here, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And folks, that's what I am praying for, is that as a body of believers, as a body of Christ in this world, that you and I will be involved in good works that will result in other people getting saved. Many of you give on Sunday nights. That's our missionary offering. That money goes to our missionaries, wherever they may be. And we have missionaries in China. Yeah, they're there. They're laboring. They're seeing people saved. But they're risking their life to do it, and their family's lives, but they're there. We have missionaries scattered all over the world. Some in Mexico, some in Cameroon, Thailand. They're scattered out everywhere. And so they are producing fruit, and you are making it possible for them to do that because you give on Sunday night. So you have a part in that. So God has ordained that we do good works, and that's what we want to do. So there you have an overview of the problem that we seem to be experiencing. There was a time in the past when we were comfortable living in the lusts of our flesh. Yeah. I remember before I was saved, even the lust of our minds and hearts. But God in his mercy reached out to us and called us to live a holy life through the salvation that we found in Jesus Christ. So, our flesh does want to satisfy itself. A minute or two ago, I said, yes, we are involved in a war, and you are involved in more of a battle than you know. Because you and I live in this thing we call a body. And that body is flesh. It's a carnal body. It likes to satisfy itself. Put a steak in front of me and I'll satisfy myself. My body will. But you know, that's not what God saved. When Jesus Christ died on that cross of Calvary, it wasn't our bodies he was saving. It was your soul. It was the very heart of who you are. The thing that gives you your desires and your and there's a battle going on between this body and that soul. That soul wants to do what's right. It wants to do good works like God said we should. But yet, this body almost drags us into sin because of its appetites, because of its lusts. And we are involved in a war. And because of that war, you and I are having problems with holiness. Some people, and I know it's wrong to envy, but some of you I do envy because you don't seem to have any problem with controlling your eating habits. Some of us know that there's more than one of us in this room this morning who can be a little envious because it seems like everything I eat goes immediately here. Packs on a little more weight and just causes me to wish I hadn't done that. Any of you ever experienced that? But it's because of the war. Because of the war between our soul and our body. The day that you got saved, you entered into that battle. And it's not going to be over until you go home to be with the Lord. Every day, you are going to be involved in a battle. a battle to do right, a battle to be holy. And you know what holy is? Holy is without sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so in order for us to win the battle, we are going to have to hide the word of God in our hearts. That's why we need to be reading this every day. I've got four verses, and I mentioned it last week, I'm sure. I have four verses I'm trying to memorize. I can get two of them, but then I can't remember the last two. And if I remember the last two, I can't remember what that first word is of the next of the first four. A battle. A real battle. You're in it too. You're having the same battle. We are all, because God is no respecter of persons. He's made us this way. And some of you are able to do better than others, but we're still all fighting the same battle. And we have to realize that. Now, here's an important thing for you to understand. It's not an important part for all of us. If I sin, does that mean I'm not holy? Well, what do you think? If I sin, am I really living a holy life? No. But here's the truth. Here's that little word, but. And I said, but, you know. Anytime somebody says that to you, they're talking to you and they say, but, listen up, because now you're going to hear the truth. Holiness is not what we do. Holiness is not what we do. Holiness is what we are. And it's not talking about our body. It's talking about our soul. You can be holy. You are holy in the sight of God. Ever since Jesus Christ reached out and saved you, he made you holy. He made you righteous. He covered you with his righteousness. And that's what God sees when he looks at us. He's not looking at the flesh. He's looking at what's inside the flesh. And that's the part of us that we need to exercise. And that's the part of us that we need to defend. And you and I can be holy without looking holy. Now listen to what I'm saying. You and I can be holy without looking holy. Holiness does not always have clean hands. Sometimes the hands of a holy person are dirty with dirt, with grease, with whatever they happen to be doing for the Lord. Sometimes the clothes are soiled. That doesn't affect our holiness. Our holiness is what God has made us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so we need to understand that we need to focus on. Tim was talking about focusing this morning and the direction we go in. We need to focus on the holiness that God wants us to exert around us. There was a time in everybody's life here, nobody can be proud saying, well, I'm more holy than everybody else. Because there was a time in your life, there was a time in my life when we were anything but holy. Anything but holy. We were pleased with the pleasures of the world. And we crave the world's stuff. But since we learned about Jesus and put our faith in his name, our hearts have been changed. And the Holy Spirit has made us something different. You and I are not really strong when it comes to standing against the devil. And we are told, you know, that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, meaning that we have the strength within us, but it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit of God. He is the one who has the strength. Romans 8:34 tells us, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that it is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. You hear that? Jesus is at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Now, he's not just asking the Heavenly Father to give us what we want. He's asking God to take care of us. And God is doing that because, not because you and I are something special. He's doing that because Jesus, at his right hand, is making intercession for you. Seems like you're losing a skirmish. The devil's winning. Doesn't have to be that way. Jesus is stronger than the devil. Let him have his way in your life. For several years, I know that I've not been doing what the Bible says that we should do. There are two ways that we sin, and I just want to, we're running short of time this morning, but I want to get into this just a little bit this morning, and like I said, in the future you'll hear some more of it. But there are two ways that you and I sin. Now, one way that I could sin, I don't, but one way that I could, well, let me stop for just a minute before we get into this. Let me tell you something, a truth. Everyone seated in this auditorium could commit any sin that you can think of. And the only reason that you don't is because of the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. He prevents us from some sin. You say, oh, Pastor, I'd never murder anybody. Under the right circumstances, you would. And hopefully you never get into those circumstances. But there has been, I know there was a time many years ago when I considered killing somebody, and I was serious. It was just an instant, and then God made me aware of what I was thinking. But any one of us seated here this morning could commit any sin that can be named or committed. So there's two kinds of sin, and I just want to briefly talk about it. There are sins of commission where we do things that we shouldn't do. And if my wife wants to prevent me from doing that, she will tape my mouth shut. That will help. She rides with me when I go get donuts to make sure I don't eat one on the way back to church. No, that's not the reason she rides. Sins of commission, things we do that we shouldn't do. And that's a problem. It can be a problem in our lives. But the biggest problem in every one of our lives are the sins of omission. the sins of omission, the things we should do that we don't do. And I can tell you from my own heart, most of the time, it's because I don't love as much as I should. Sins of omission. Those are the biggies. Those are the things we don't do. Now, Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. So they're forgiven, but they're still there. And that's what you and I need to work on. The more we let Jesus cleanse us from the sin, the closer to him we get. And if you've been here on Sunday nights and you've been listening to the seven churches, the letters that he wrote to the seven different churches, tonight we do Laodicea. The seven churches. He started out with Ephesus. He was standing right in the middle of all the churches. And then the next church, Smyrna, well, he was still in the middle of the candlesticks. But each church, he moves a little. He didn't move. The churches moved away from him. And you and I do the same thing. We move away. And so we need to pray that God will keep us close. Close to him. There's a hymn. Just a closer walk with thee. And oh, that is my prayer for all of us. That we might have that closer walk. A day doesn't go by, I don't pray that for you and for myself. That we might walk closer to him. And again, the biggest sin problem we can have are the sins of omission, not doing the things that we ought to do. The Word of God is sweet to our souls because the Holy Spirit is living there and he is the one who inspired the Word. But our bodies, these lustful bodies, keep trying to take us away from the Lord and back into the world where they were comfortable. I look forward to the day that these bodies will be changed to immortal bodies. And I won't be 30 pounds overweight. I'll be like Jesus, so will you. So we need to think about holiness. Holiness needs to be something we strive for as a church. It would be fantastic if this congregation became known in the North Charleston area as a place and people of holiness. What a fantastic goal. God can do it. Jesus is there making intercession. Let's see what God's going to do with us. Father, we do love you. We do thank you for all that you're doing in our lives and the provisions you're making for us, Father, with the situations that we have in our life. And Father, we think of David and some of our other congregation members who are not here this morning because circumstance will not permit them to be. Father, may your Holy Spirit minister to them. May he minister to the needs that they have in their hearts. But Father, we have needs too. Help us by letting your Holy Spirit minister to the needs in our hearts. May we truly live holy lives before you. Use us, Father, in this week to come to touch lives that don't know you. Father, that we might share with them the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they might, through the power of your Holy Spirit, be born again and accept him as Savior. Thank you, Father, for giving us this time here together this morning. May it be profitable for your kingdom. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.